Okay, you're off.
Wow.
Okay. How's your weekend?
It's been a very interesting time. I've just been to see my eldest daughter in Leamington Spa. And
you mean my sister? You don't need to explain who she is, Mum.
I know. And obviously Ada's going through the terrible twos early. So yes, it was a lovely time, but quite tiring. She was never a pain, but she's just challenging everything and everyone at the moment.
What, with April as well?
Yeah. Oh, but no, we had a good time. We went out for Mother's Day. We went to Hawksley Hall in, not that far from Southam. It was a really old...
The National Trust place?
No, it's a restaurant and hotel, spa. I think it's called Hawksley Hall. Fawsley, what am I saying? Fawsley Hall. Fawsley. And it was built by the Knightley family, but also Henry VIII had a lot of influence over it.
So
it's a fantastic place.
Oh, that's good, good.
Big hall with lots of pictures.
You weren't looking forward to it, were you? Like,
no, it was fine. It was absolutely fine.
Oh, good. We went for a walk with Sue Neil, actually. We went at Kerber Gap, top car park.
With the dogs.
We went for a walk along the edge. And then we went and booked something for tea. Richard was meant to be coming over for barbecue, but he cancelled. So we went for tea, dinner with Sue and Neil at Checkers at Frogger.
Oh, lovely.
It was really nice.
Been there for ages.
The food was really good. They had a set menu on for Mother's Day.
Oh, very good.
It was really nice. It was nice to see Sue and Neil as well. Yeah. They gave me 2 bay trees for my birthday.
Gave you what?
2 bay trees.
Bay trees? Oh, lovely.
Yeah, I know, they're really nice.
Oh, I know. Very good. So we're going to talk about work a bit, what's been happening?
Yep. Nicola can't work on Tuesday because she's poorly. Did you see my email?
Yes, I did. I wonder if she's looking for another job.
I thought that. But then also, I don't know if we've given her enough training or not.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we can get her to go out with somebody else.
Yeah.
Like Anita or Sharon are up in the area. At Newcastle or something, we'll get her to come down and visit them.
Yeah.
What do you think? Unless you want to go to Glasgow?
Yeah, I could do. Except for I'm quite busy in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's worth investing the time in her, but we'll have to wait and see. We haven't probably given her enough training,
That's what I think. I feel a bit guilty that we haven't given her enough training.
Yeah.
So we'll probably need to look at that. Because the other thing I did think was she could always go out with Louise, but I don't know how that'll go down. Because I think Louise has a very different style to Nicola.
I think also, though, it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to Glasgow on the 18th. But that's the 18th, is the day before Good Friday.
It's not a good day.
No, exactly. Oh, I've got 2 meetings already anyway.
I think we need to have a conversation with her and see how she's going on, how she feels about the job.
Yeah.
Yes. I get the feeling that she's not particularly engaged with it.
I feel like she's not very committed to it now. Yeah. I don't seem that interested in it. But then when I met her, she was definitely keen. She listened to everything I said and took it all in. But
do we need to explain what we actually do?
Yeah.
Yes. We're fundraisers that promote the HMRC payroll giving scheme, which is also known as Give As You Earn, and it's a way where you can support any charity through your payroll, and it's a pre-tax deduction, so it's the complete opposite of gift aid. So if you gave £5 a month to any charity at basic rate, you'd only actually pay 4, but the charity would actually get your tax. And we work with lots of big corporates, BT and Morrison's probably being the largest, Capita, Debenhams, who bless them, are going through a difficult time at the moment. And we've got a network of fundraisers that go out and do this,
promoting
in the workplace.
We make appointments for them in advance.
Yeah.
So our office here in Halisage, we've got a booking team in there who manage their diaries and make appointments for them in advance, so the team know where they're going, sort of as and when.
That sounds like a lot of people.
We've got 12 fundraisers throughout the UK, because we work with national companies like Morrison's, BT. We're sort of committed to visit every Morrison store at least once a year. If you think about the number of Morrison stores in the UK, you need quite a lot of people to be able to go and visit them all. So yeah, we've got people. So we're talking about fundraisers in Scotland. Nicola and Louise are in Scotland. And then we've got people we've got quite a lot of people in the north, to be fair. We're quite north heavy, but then we've got sort of down Birmingham, London, looking to recruit someone in Southampton. But yeah.
Alright.
So it's a big.
So why Hathersage?
Because I live in Hope, and I started the business in what was my study 25 years ago.
Right.
And then I ventured out to the garage and had the garage made into an office. And as it grew, I then had an extension on the garage, like a conservatory. But that just got too small. And then Penny, when I started the business, Penny was only 8. And she went off and obviously went to uni, and like my other daughter, and did the travelling gap year, ski season, blah de blah. And then about 8 or 9 years ago, she decided she wanted to get involved in the business. So.
No, that's not true. I was working in Glasgow, and you were like, oh, you can always work for me again, you know.
Go and do some fundraising.
Go and do some fundraising. You're good at it. I was like, okay, fine.
So that's what you did for a year.
I was living in Glasgow and went and did that, yeah. It was really fun, actually. But and then you quite moved, challenging in Scotland.
Then you moved back down to be near her, sort of, her friends and me and everything. So she moved back down to Sheffield, bought a house with Hamish, who she subsequently married, who's Scottish. And
exactly.
And then Penny got involved more in the running of the business on the campaign side. So we then decided really that we had outlived the garage. It was just getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
And just too small. So I always liked I particularly like those where we are, because they're purpose built offices. These are all lovely in here, but they're very, some of them have got very
different
types of spaces, and not you don't have your own kitchen ideal. Facilities in some of them.
The business centre.
Yeah, business centre. Yeah, it's right. They're shared. I mean, it's lovely. It's very, very, you know, it's old, and it's a lovely, lovely setting. But particularly where we are up the yard, it's very good because we've purpose built. We've got our own kitchen, private toilet, and it's just worked really well.
Yeah,
so we're delighted with it.
Yeah, because we looked at a couple of places in Sheffield, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it was just, so everyone that works for us, obviously, sort of based locally, and from being in Hope, one of the... Sharon, who's our processing manager, actually lives in Glossop, so for her Sheffield would be a real drag. So sort of Hathersage is basically like the furthest, so really it's fair to her.
I mean, is that halfway between sort of your, I mean, Manchester and Sheffield? Is that sort of like the Hope Valley, does that kind of act like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really
definitely.
Good because we've got the train, obviously. I've just come back on the train, it's quicker to, I've come from Leamington Spa, got the train from Leamington Spa at 7:45, and then literally got into Sheffield and then caught the local train out here.
Yeah.
So I probably couldn't drive it that quickly in the rush hour. So we're really lucky that we've got this service.
Yeah.
Obviously, we can get into Sheffield in 20 minutes, and then we can also be in Manchester.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's really good.
Some more trains in recently?
I don't know whether they have. I mean, there's been this awful... They're
striking, haven't they?
Yeah,
weekends.
But that's now stopped. But you now have to buy a ticket, which I didn't realise. You have to buy a ticket now on the platform before you get on the train.
Oh, really?
And you can actually be fined now if you don't do it. I mean, they're not actually enforcing it yet. But when I went on Saturday, the guy still gave me, my old person's rail car. So I got a discount, which was £1 or something. Anyway, coming back because I hadn't bought my ticket, the guy said, no, you can't, you know, I said, it's okay. I'm not going to argue about £1. So I had to pay the full fare because I should have bought the ticket
at the station.
So from now on, you can't get on and buy on the train. You have to have a ticket when
you
get on the train.
Is there a ticket machine at Hathersage?
There's now a ticket machine at Hathersage. But it's only on one platform, same as Hope.
So you've got
you get across to the other side, go to Sheffield, then you realise that the ticket machine's over there.
Oh,
and, you know, and of course, I'd only hadn't got a lot of time when I got there, so I didn't get a ticket on Saturday either.
Oh,
but you've got to do that now. Which I suppose is, you know, fair dues, but we're just not used to it, are we? We're used to just getting on the train, buying a ticket.
Exactly.
So now you've actually got to have the...
Good knowledge, Mum. Did not know that.
But no, it's fine. It's a lovely place to work,
yeah.
And obviously I know no different because I've lived here for a long while. So it's just I couldn't have really worked in Sheffield, having sort of lived, you know, worked in what was my garden, looking out on lovely fields and everything, to suddenly going into Sheffield and working in a sort of different
awful Broom Hill because it's such a bad place.
It wasn't that so much that it was the parking.
I know
wasn't
the parking wasn't the parking.
I mean,
is awful.
It's a bit challenging here at times, but it's not as bad anywhere near as bad as Sheffield.
And also, then you've got like, all the student footfall and stuff in Broom Hill when it's like, student time.
We're very pleased with it here.
Yeah.
It works really well.
It does work really well. But now, although already we're still a bit like, I feel like it's a bit small.
We still managed to
fill
it up.
It's like a little cozy. It's like a flat almost, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is.
Self-contained.
Yeah, exactly. It is nice. But yeah, it's good. Definitely.
I think you are the envy of some of the others here because of that nature. You know, it is self-contained.
Yeah.
It's not sprawling and you're not...
No.
You know,
well, we looked at one... I think we looked at the dovecot. We looked at one over there that overlooks the old manor house. But it was more expensive. But they were just really funny, not particularly...
Yeah,
that,
not very well proportioned.
Proportion for us, you know. I mean,
like that
full of character.
That Dove one's lovely, but it's got really high ceilings. We obviously the booking team was so far on the phone a lot, so obviously the noise is just going to chuck straight up.
About.
Yeah, exactly.
And then other ones, this one you have to share your toilet and kitchen area, and I thought, I just don't want that. So I always knew, Mr. Shuttleworth knew that I was always interested in those, and they never hardly come up, and then suddenly one did become vacant. So that was it, really, wasn't it? I said, right, yes.
Went for it, exactly.
What, 2 years ago now?
Yeah, 2 years in May.
Is it only two?
Two years.
Because
I mean, this place is what, since 2010 or something, wasn't it?
We did look round before.
I looked at it years ago, but I say those went very quickly because he had those purpose built.
Yes.
And I think these here as well, but the rest are all conversions of farm buildings.
They are nice, though, aren't they? But yeah, like I say, they're not, some of them just aren't ideal for what we need, because there's quite a few, like there's six of us in the office when it's full, or seven technically when it's full. So actually, it's you know, it's a bit of a tight squeeze when you've got all the computers and all the desks.
Shouldn't they be out there sort of beating the drum?
No.
All
these fundraising things. Well, so what's the difference between Just Giving and
Just Giving is a platform for people. Mainly, it's not payroll giving. It's when you want to sponsor somebody through and they organise the gift aid, and so they take a percentage.
Yeah, it's basically after tax. So if you give through Just Giving, you're giving from your general bank account, sort of your wage after tax. So then the charity has to then go and claim the gift aid back. What we do is payroll giving, so people give it directly at source, so they get the tax advantage on the top line of their pay. So it comes straight out of the pay packet, like a pensions contribution.
Ah, okay.
So you get the tax advantage at source. You don't get any N&I advantage, unfortunately, but there is obviously the tax saving. So for likes of higher rate taxpayers as well, it's the only way they can automatically give all of their tax straight to a charity. The likes of gifting, charities can only claim a basic rate tax, and then a higher rate taxpayer then have to claim it back on their tax return. But also, for people who are just sort of in a regular employment, it's a nice way to give, because it's safe and secure. Like, they don't have to do bank details, it's all done in-house by the payroll. So, and obviously people can give to any charity they want to as well.
We promote that concept when we're governed by the Institute of Fundraising, which I'm a member of. Right. And so basically we promote the scheme. Oh, yes, we're funded by over 120 charities. So we get paid by the charities per donor that we recruit for them, and it's very highly monitored, and there's lots of different things in Protect Us as the fundraisers and them as the charity. But in general, we also raise lots of money for charities we're not funded by, because we just say to people, you can give to whatever you want. Mm. So therefore, along the way, we get loads and loads of pledges for churches and all sorts of schools, all sorts of things.
Like that. But we also facilitate one-off donations too. So if people want to give a one-off payment throughout the year, that's all done totally free of charge too, regardless of the charity. But I actually did some figures the other week, and I think last year we helped people pledge in the region of 14 million, which we were only funded for 40% of. So obviously that's how much people gave to the charity, to charities overall, right. 14 million. But from that, I think we actively fundraised for 120 charities, but then we also fundraised for 954 other charities. So 954 other charities are also benefiting as a result of us
working with those companies. So to be honest, I always thought Just Giving was a double tax. You paid your tax, and then you paid, and then that gift aid thing. How did that work? Because you ended up, when you always say that all your money.
You basically when you go on, you tick something that says you're a PAYE, and then that means that the Just Giving then go and claim, I think, back from
the government, the
amount at base. It's always at basic rate, so you don't get anything, a tax advantage, if you're a higher taxpayer.
Right, okay.
So basically payroll giving is the total reverse of gift aid. So if you're a higher taxpayer, you give £10 a month, you're only going to pay six, but you're at 40%, but your charity's going to get the 10, give or take. We don't administrate it. There's payroll giving agencies that administrate it, and they take a very small percentage. But if anybody's listening, they would think, well, that's not totally true, because not everybody, most companies that we work with, all the big corporates actually pay the administration costs, so the full amount goes to the charity.
Yes.
But some companies don't, or government bodies don't, because they don't have a budget.
Something like Just Giving, they take their
they take 4%, or they did. I think they might have lowered it. They've just changed it.
Yeah,
but they basically Just Giving take their fee out of the claiming the gift aid back.
Yes.
So it's basically if you pledge a tenner, the charity gets that full £10. But what they then do is claim the 25% back on the tax you would have paid on that £10.
So it's
£2.50. But then Just Giving take their fee out of that additional cost. Yeah. So ultimately the charities do end up with
20%, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you're doing the reverse, it's actually 25%, because we would have.
Oh yes, of course.
Yeah. But obviously. The Just Giving do get a lot of, I think they get a lot of bad press, because obviously they have got a massive platform.
They've invested a lot of money. Yeah, they have.
But it is a venture capitalist's 40% return type business, isn't it? And that's what they want. that's what they've invested.
But then you also have to look. Yeah, absolutely. But then you have to look at the reverse of it. Is that BT also have BT My Donate, which they've invested in as to being a commission free platform.
Totally free.
But actually, a lot of charities won't invest in that, so they've had to close that down because charities won't move away from Just Giving because the Just Giving platform has more functionality. So
they captured the market at the right time. Right. That's what they did.
And
invested in it, and so therefore people just think of that all the time.
Yeah, and also charities are contracted to it. So charities have contracts with Just Giving, and that's what they're contracted to.
And there's Virgin Money are quite big.
Virgin Money Giving, they obviously do them at the London Marathon, don't they? So they have a big, big stake in that. But also, even if you use Virgin Money Giving, it's not as good as Just Giving. The actual functionality of the website.
Well, that's interesting, because I mean, that's from my point of view, is that that's, you know, if these things don't work, your platforms don't work, when you have a look at this and you see, you know, you log in and you have to see all this business, just how... It's got to be just completely automatic.
It's got to be easy.
We have this idea that technology is transparent. I don't care whether I've got one of these or whatever yours is, as long as it just does it.
It doesn't work, it's a pain.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. People just chuck it in the bin, literally just...
Well, it's like about website and stuff, isn't it? If you know, you've got something like 20 seconds before somebody leaves your page because they can't find what they're looking for. People are impatient now because everything is... You know,
but one website it infuriates me is Marks and Spencer's. Is the person who's ever done that needs shooting. It's so irritating. You can't go back on anything. You can't find anything. It's just the most irritating website.
I'm sure they've got a whole team of people analysing.
Well, I've told them before. I've told them that they ought to do something about it.
Do you see the feedback form then?
I also, one of my other bugbears with retail, and I've said this before, is that they do not, that you, when you go into a shop and you're wanting to pay for something, you know, it doesn't matter who, whether, if I was a manager at Marks and Spencer's and I saw a queue, I would go on the tills. But for some reason, these people, the management, think that that's beneath them. So therefore, they just there, having a meeting, looking at, you know, what they're going to do, and there's a queue of people. How madness is that in the times that we're in, where retail's struggling so? It should be every hands to the deck. And that's where Tesco's have done very well, because the guy at the top there had this ethos that everybody should be able to do, especially management. You shouldn't be asking somebody to do something you can't do.
Precisely.
I mean, you know, it's a no-brainer. You just get on the till and you make sure the queues go down. Because at the end of the day, we all lead busy lives, and it's very frustrating if you go in and you see all these tills like you do in Marks. Oh, my goodness me, even at Christmas. Oh, no, they won't have them all manned. You just still have to wait. What's the point in having them? Get rid of them. I know, it's one of my bugbears. One of many. It is one of my bugbears, because it's just so obvious to me.
I know,
what
but
they
it
should
goes,
be doing.
It goes back to what you're saying, isn't it? It's about management. So there's no point. Why? You shouldn't be asking someone to do something if you're not prepared to do yourself.
Well, that's always been my ethos. Yeah, so you shouldn't be able to do. I still go out and fundraise. I haven't done it for a while recently, but I still believe that you should be able to do everybody else's job if you've run a successful business. That's the essence of it. You don't put yourself in an ivory tower.
Exactly, you've got to get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
So you know how long you've been going on for now?
25 years. probably too long. That's it now.
About half an hour.
No, you haven't. I just showed you how. But I want to just explore the one thing about the Hope Valley College. I just picked up that if you're an ex-pupil.
Yeah.
Now those guys, I went down there, and probably maybe you've been asked to go and talk about careers. I don't know. Have you ever been?
No, we haven't. No.
That's it's really interesting, because you go down there, and I'm probably, you know, I've been to hundreds of schools, and it's that disengagement bit. You know, they don't connect. So if they don't know what's going on, they do disconnect. And the kids are just, you know, what do I do? I've got no chance of getting a job or something like that. And it's interesting, the local people going down and just talking about what they do.
Yeah,
or especially you know, you're ex, and you know, you realise the opportunity you've done your skiing and traveled around the world bit, and then come back, and it's coming back to something good as opposed to just coming back because you've got nothing better to do.
For me as well. When I lived in Glasgow with Hamish, I started finding myself being like, "What's wrong with me?" And I was like, "I think it's because I can't see any greenery." I think living in a city, I just got to the point where I was just like, "I think it's because I can't see the outside." And I ended up getting quite pent up about it. So we used to go away at the weekends and stuff into the Highlands, because I was just like, I can't live in a city. Mm-hmm. And even now, like, I live just on the outskirts of Sheffield, driving over to the valley every day. It's lovely. Yeah, just be like, oh my God, this is my commute.
Which way did you come over? Ringing Low.
Straight over Ringing Low. So it's great.
We all go across there.
It's a quick nip. It's just brilliant. But then also, you know, it gets to the weekend and I go to Burbage and I'm like, oh, what are all these people doing here?
Yeah, and the valley's definitely got busier. When I first came here, I moved up from London in 1979 with my what was then husband, Penny's dad, who I've obviously we got divorced. He worked for Midland Bank, which then became HSBC.
Yeah.
And I absolutely hated it. I would have done anything to go back to London, but now I wouldn't go back there if you paid me.
Exactly.
It's so weird how your body, how your mind and everything you get used to changes.
Yeah.
But I didn't. That's the thing. I thought I wanted to live in the city. And living in Glasgow, I was like,
but you didn't like it.
No, I can't handle this.
Yeah, April loves Leamington Spa, yeah, and that is very much still. It's a lovely, lovely town. But it's busy. It's so busy.
See, it's nothing there. It's flat.
Yeah.
I can't, like, when Hamish and I go there, we're like, where do we go for a walk?
It's very pretty, though. It's got some very pretty gardens and Jefferson Gardens.
Even the countryside and stuff, it's just, like, flat.
Even with its royal Leamington Spa. Yeah. You know, I mean, it attracts tourists.
Yeah, it's a lovely town. It's,
it's got some lovely
really
shops if
town.
You like retail therapy. It's got all the lovely shops. And
it is really nice. But
you're definitely not in the right place about retail.
Exactly.
Running around the Peak District, that's what I...
I think that's probably...
Do you do any? What do you do to keep fit? Do you go do anything?
I play netball and I go running and mountain biking.
Do you?
Yeah.
Right, there you go.
And I've got three Hungarian Vizslas who Penny's actually got one from the second litter with my partner John, and we take them out every day when I'm here, obviously, about an hour's walk. I do that as much as possible, so they keep us, you know, they
you
keep us quite fit.
My favourite place, which always makes me laugh every time I go past it, is Hope Cemetery.
Oh, Green Drive.
Yeah. I mean, it should be. I've won Hope Cemetery. I'm going to put No Hope.
No Hope. Well, no, it is a No Hope, yeah.
Yeah,
but, yeah. John's parents are in there now. Yeah. His mother died only just recently, so she went in to be buried with her husband. Mm. So it was very sad. That was just before she died.
One of these humanitarian, what are they called? Humanists. Was it just a normal burial.
She was a Methodist, so she was buried in January, but she died just before Christmas. But obviously, you know, with Christmas and everything, you know, we had to wait a bit. But he's got quite a few relations in there because I'm never perceived as a local because I haven't got anybody dead in the graveyard. You have to have somebody dead in the graveyard to actually be considered local.
Great.
I know.
That sounds like a good way to end it.
Yeah.
I tell you, great. That's it. I've had to turn the volume down because you've got more and more.
Because you got louder.
About my rant about Marks and Spencer's and them.
Is it? That's great. No, good. Right then, what I'll do is I'll stop it now.
Good.
Mum, thank you.